Hey there, Westworld fans. We are talking about the season 2 finale, episode 10, The Passenger. We hope you'll stick along for the ride.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
Hello, hello. Welcome, AfterBuzz TV fans, Westworld fans, to the Westworld finale episode. I can't believe how quickly this season has flown by. We are talking about season 2, episode 10, The Passenger. I am your host, Elena Jordan. To my left is the incomparable Carrie Lane.
What's up? Oh my gosh, finale. Holy mackerel. You know.
Next to her is the phenomenal Alice Ford, also holding it down in the chat.
That's right. Hey, guys, and thank you guys all for already being in the chat room. Sorry we're starting a little bit late. And for any of you that this is your first time joining, if you want to chat with us while we're on the air here, all you have to do is send us a little message in the live chat, and we will maybe give you a shout out.
And the phenomenal Nate Miller is here, the veritable encyclopedia of Westworld knowledge himself.
This song hits me right in the feels. Oh.
Man, it's a good song. The soundtrack of this season, too, is just absolutely phenomenal.
Oh, yeah.
So before we even dive into kind of dissecting this episode, since it is the finale, just wondering your overall feelings on the episode and on kind of the season as well. Nate, you want to kick us off?
Yeah, I thought it was great. I think this is a fantastic bookend to not only this season, but also season one. They somehow incredibly managed to pay off a bunch of things that I thought they would not be able to get around to. And I was pleasantly surprised a few times, which is, it's nice to be surprised when you spend a lot of time thinking about what's going to happen. So.
Yeah, this episode was really complex. And I see just from reading all of you guys in the chat rooms right now that, a lot of people I think are a little confused. And get us like everything that was going on, and there's a lot of mixing of like future and past and present in this episode. And I'm definitely more excited for season 3. That's for sure. And yeah, I'm excited to talk about all this episode because it was just real crazy.
I like that the show continually answers the questions and it's like surprise new ones that you go, sure. But I think it's very good ending, but it is definitely a nice placeholder to what happens next, because it's not like it ends on a huge bang per se, but it was still like, oh, so what's next? I want to know, like you're saying, I want what happens next.
Yeah, they did a really good job of wrapping this up really well, but then also leaving it somewhat open-ended so that you do have questions, so that you are intrigued to come back for season 3.
Always.
But this episode, even though it was another very non-linear episode, I thought that it was a little bit easier to dissect because they gave us so many placeholders and cues. I feel like there was even some points that I feel like they were even really, you know, driving home the point and really spelling it out in some ways that previously in the season they hadn't. But I think that just because it was the finale, they kind of gave us a little bit more of a bone.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's the same as season one's finale, where like repeatedly you're explained over and over the idea of the bicameral mind. Because if you didn't get it throughout the season enough, you need to understand it to get the finale. So they kind of force feed it to you. I understand. It was a little, there was some spots where I was like, okay, like, I get it. But I know that a lot of people do get confused, and there's a lot of things that are facts that are stated that sometimes people miss, which will heavily influence your theory or what you're thinking about. So I think it's good that they restated a few things in there just to help some people along.
Or scenes, because we're watching, and I hope you all know, there's a post-credit scene. And so it might be like, oh yeah, that, because that raises questions and gives us answers. And this definitely has a topic that we and you all have discussed many a times. But, you know, if again, missing clues that are said or a scene.
Well, I mean, are we going to talk about that later? Where do we want to?
I mean, we can go ahead and talk about that now if you guys want to. I figured we could kind of talk about maybe Maeve's storyline first, just because I feel like that one was a little bit easier.
Then I'll save it for later.
Yeah.
Do we want to? We'll put a little pin in it.
That's right.
Yeah. We're also going to be talking about our predictions for next season a little later on. We're going to be talking about all the storylines kind of broken down by character and talk about some moments that really stood out to us as well. So We got a lot to talk about this episode. But yeah, let's dive into Maeve's storyline. So we've kind of seen her progress, and we've seen her now where at present moment she is incapacitated and is opened up and is on the table. But we see that in her supposedly final moments, she is able to then take control of the dead townspeople, bring them to life, have them saw her would-be sar, and piece her back together. She ends up meeting up with Akichita and then going to the valley beyond this chasm that is opened by Dolores. And then ultimately, we've been wondering what was going to happen with her being reunited with her daughter. And we see that she basically dies happily seeing her daughter being led on with new Maeve, is what I've been calling her.
Well, even before then, though, her exiting with the stampede was amazing. Yes. And oh, gosh, I love that she's great. Like, you guys are too late. I went ahead and saved myself. I was like,
yes. One of the best lines, yes.
I mean, actually, Ford saved her, but okay, sure.
Yeah, that is true. That's but yeah, true. That scene was super.
Not the two guys who were coming to rescue her. Right. She's like, y'all took
He gave her the power to save herself.
Yes.
But ultimately, it was her choice and her decision to not go softly into that good night.
Yes.
I just don't know why, at the end, when she stops everyone with her force of the mesh network, why she couldn't override what Clementine did. Mm-hmm. That didn't make a lot of sense to me, but, I mean,
if I had to theorize, given that what Clementine was doing is based off the same adapted code that Maeve had, it was probably, like,
incompatible.
Yeah, it was
something.
Probably, like, the same power, so she couldn't control them. She could stop them, you know, for a time. I thought that was interesting, too. I don't know why she didn't try that sooner, too.
Mm-hmm.
Right,
That stuff seemed a little weird to me, but
her just run? It's like, whoa, you can pause a lot of this before and let everybody get out.
Try, at least.
Yeah.
Like, oh, it's not working, now let's run,
it's
or something.
It's a new power. She's not used to it. I'll give her that benefit.
I mean, she just pulled up all those bowls and pulled up the decommissioned host to save her and heal herself. So, I don't know. I thought it was nice, though, to see the ending of that story, and especially after what we got with her and Ford and him, what he said about her being her favorite and her staying for her kid and him staying for his kid. And then just like how he died for his child, she dies for hers. So
we had some emotional deaths in her storyline as well, both Hector and Lee, but Lee first sacrificing himself so that Hector can take her. I loved that kind of twist of him saying, you know, it was my speech anyway. You're shaking your head, Nate.
It felt kind of cheesy. I don't know. I was starting to like Sizemore, but it wasn't enough for me to be like, aw, all right, Sizemore. I'm like, eh, okay.
Yeah, I wasn't
you
like,
you
kind of
redeemed yourself. He should have just, like, I felt like if he could have just turned himself in. Like, he hold them long enough for them to get away, then they'll have to arrest him, and then he can be in trouble or whatever. I'd like to see that, but
I guess that's true. It actually would have taken longer if he would have been like, hey, I turned myself in, instead of just getting mowed down and then...
He didn't have to die.
But it was nice that he, like, finally, you know, grew some sort of
I think the heroic. Speech also is better when it gets cut off than when he finishes it.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
Boom.
Yeah, he gets his moment of, like, being grandiose, and then his speech gets cut. I'm like, But at least the security people are kind of like, we're not after you. We don't really want to shoot you, but you're shooting at us, so...
I kind of feel bad for the QA responders in some scenes, because it's like, they don't know what's going on. They keep getting mowed down. They have backstories, too. They have lives.
They're just red shirts.
Yeah.
Basically, they're the red shirts of Westworld, or just the QA responders. So, but yeah, I thought this was a nice little button that they had on it. And I do like that they left it open-ended with Felix and Sylvester both being tasked to basically tag and bag the hosts that are somewhat salvageable. And of course, we see Maeve. So it's just presumed that she's going to be back season 3.
Well, yeah, I think they're going to, you know, somehow, like, give her, like, create some sort of side project to bring her back.
Dandy Newton's mm-hmm. just too you know. Good. Like, they if they have her on contract, they're going to bring her back. There's no way they won't.
I was glad Felix and Sylvester survived. I just so them. Adorable. And you're like, oh, I'm glad you guys were able to get out at least. Because so few of our, like, original people have survived. So it's like, oh, somebody yeah, got out.
Be, like, and there are only cast next season.
Yeah. Yeah. It'll be a bunch of new people. There Unless are they can bring them relief. Back, sort of.
Right.
Somewhat, yeah. We'll see. But those two, yeah, are kind of our only comedic relief as mm-hmm. well. So it's kind of nice to have that little break and a little chuckle moment in such a death-riddled episode. Mm-hmm. But this one, now what I think probably hung up some people is it going back and forth with Bernard's storyline. I felt like this was a little bit more palatable than previous episodes just because of who he was with. He mm-hmm. was always pretty much with someone, and who he was with dictated kind yes. of the timeline. So whereas before we were looking for very subtle clues, we were looking for, you know, changes in wardrobe, we were looking for, you know, glasses on and mm-hmm. off, and different gestures and mannerisms that could be a result of cortical fluid. I mean, just really tiny, minuscule things. Now it's just like, okay, well, he's standing there with either Dolores or Hale or Dolores Hale or Logan or Elsie. So yeah. it kind of, I felt, dictated the storyline a little bit better. And I feel like that was intentional, I think, as well for the finale. What did you guys think?
Yeah, I agree. I think if they had given more clues away earlier in the season, it wouldn't have had the impact of the reveal that it had. So it made sense that this was the episode where they were explaining everything. But of course, they couldn't just do it sequentially. They had to kind of pace the story out with different reveals in order to get different emotional tension. So I think they did a great job.
This one I thought did a really good job, too, of having everybody have the same end goal and them all going to the Valley Beyond and having that be the common tie and the transition into having Akichita and then Clementine and then Maeve all converge together for what was basically just kind of B-roll situations where a lot of them, not much was happening other than seeing them ride towards. But the way that it was cut and the way that it was shot ended up being so beautiful that it told this narrative that when they did finally converge, it was such a powerful moment.
It just depends who sees them. Because if you're a human, it just looks like they jumped off a cliff.
Right.
Which that's that was true. A cool moment because then Felix and Sylvester, that's our thing of like, what are we looking at? And it's like, oh, okay, human beings can't see it.
It reminded me a lot of the Trail of Tears. There's a lot of historical references and beautiful cinematography in this episode too that I really loved. But I think we saw that in some of the other episodes too, with obviously the whole Native American narrative. But yeah, I really enjoyed it.
And we see kind of the button on that too, because Akichita had his entire episode, and we know that it's going to be some sort of really important role that he plays, and ultimately he's the one who saves Maeve's daughter and brings her to their version of the Valley Beyond, and also seeing him get shot and then survive.
And then he's okay.
That was so, yeah.
And he finds his woman. He finds his love. I was like, yay. But I'm like, wait, how is she there? But then,
well, and then Teddy's also in the Valley Beyond.
Well, that one, because Dolores has a moment where she's like, I have one more person I want to put.
Right.
But for her, his wife, I guess, I was curious of how she got there.
That one I was kind of confused on the logistics of.
Or more, how is she there right now?
Yeah.
You know, because it's like, okay, that's that space.
Because she just turned it on.
Yeah.
Like, there wasn't even time to be like, I'll also help out some peeps. Like, it's
right, unless it was like uploading in the background, like old hosts that had already died that weren't out in the park, but like,
yeah, that was the only one that didn't really make sense. What do you think, Nate?
Yeah, no, I'm with you guys. I was like, what? Like, first of all, that she's there. Second of all, that she's standing right there. Like,
right in the front.
Right. But hey, what's up, Aki? Yeah, I don't know. I feel like they could have easily thrown in a line of like, oh, and we're also uploading the consciousness from cold storage or something. But right. I don't know. Maybe there's an explanation to that. Maybe we're supposed to wonder. Maybe it was cut. I don't know.
It feels weird. Fan-service-y.
It was very convenient.
Yeah.
Like, I was happy, but it's like, wait, how did, but It's one of those. Okay, good. I'm glad they're reunited.
Let's see. Leo Lima in the chat just said the hosts of Cold Storage vanished in the beginning of the season. So maybe they
that is true.
Were that's, uploaded.
Yes, that's
maybe
true.
They were a long time ago. Maybe not even uploaded, but maybe they were. Maybe she was somewhere in that collection of that long line of hosts that Ghost Nation had been collecting, and he didn't even know, he didn't know that she was in there somewhere. Because he did, that's a really good point, person in the chat. Thank you.
That's
because they made a point last season about part of Ford's narrative was that he needed more hosts, so he pulled all the hosts out of Cold Storage.
Good call. Good call. There
Thanks,
we go.
Leo. See? We appreciate
Ask
your
and
comment.
You shall receive. Thanks, chat. So this opens up with Bernard and Dolores with the, as we've seen repeated multiple times, the is this now scene. Which I do love just the echoing of that one, since it's always, as we've done many times. And
it's like, do you mean now or now now?
Yeah.
So almost have to say it double for extra emphasis, because what now are you referring to?
The 11,927th time.
Yes.
Now.
Oh, poor Bernard.
Mm-hmm. Man.
Well, better than the 18 million that Logan said he had tried with.
Yes.
Jeez, man. Yeah.
And then technically our many times longer than we expected at the very end. Yeah. That was no specific time mentioned.
True. Yeah. Which could be.
We don't know.
Wait, what?
Post-credit scene, they're like, how many times? Oh, and they don't say, and they just said it took longer than we expected.
I thought we weren't talking about that now.
No, I know, but just times in terms of...
Sorry, spoiler alert.
We can jump in. I mean, everybody's seen all of the episodes, so if anything strikes your fancy and you want to dive in, do it.
I do think that we should wait, because that opens a whole can of worms.
That's true.
No, just saying moments of where something has repeated, regardless of what it was, be like, how many times... So many moments had to be redone. It's like, oh, man, that's so many times. But that one was unnamed.
And I thought at some point, like, some of these numbers, like, they were going to, like, mean something. You know, like, we have 11,927, and then there was, like, I don't know, 10,000-something was, like, how many...
11,000?
How many lines of code?
Yeah.
How many lines of code?
Yes. 10,247.
Thank you.
I think it's
And then the 18
Lots of
million
numbers.
For...
Yes.
And none of them made any sense. I was like, they're just random. I don't know. I'm sure they mean
they're
something.
They're big numbers. There you go.
Sure. You know what else is a big number? The number of after shows that we have here at AfterBuzz TV as well. And I think we have... an easy way to find them and navigate them all now.
We do, guys. Here at the network, we produce after shows for nearly all of your favorite TV shows, from dramas, reality TV, sci-fi, and more. There is no network that works harder to serve television fans. And now we need your help, because we're asking that you please subscribe to one or more of our YouTube channels. Besides helping us a ton, here's what's in it for you. They cater to specific content you already like. It brings you your favorite after shows so you don't have to seek them out, and it suggests content from other channels or podcasts that might interest you. Subscribing to our YouTube channels will also help you discover new shows you're sure to love, and since you're already tuned into the Sci-Fi Channel, you might be interested in some other shows like Preacher, Luke Cage, Cloak and Dagger, or Into the Badlands, which are also on this channel. Or you could try out one of the other genres. And remember, we have channels from all of those as well. And I know a lot of us are on some other shows, like on the comedy channel and reality and drama. So make sure you guys check those out too. And don't be shy to subscribe to those. And if you're worried about pesky notifications, don't worry, because they're absolutely optional. It's super easy. Just hit that subscribe button for now. And then... all you have to do, if you do want to be subscribed, is hit that little bell button, and you're going to get updates. So thanks, guys, for being the best fans ever, and we promise to continue to do our best to serve you.
Yeah, and Preacher's starting tonight. I think Nate and I will both be on that panel tomorrow,
that's
too.
That's right.
And I'm actually in episode one.
Hey! That's awesome!
As a stunt double for the main role there.
Oh my gosh, that's so cool!
So if you see a fight, it might be me. And I have I have black hair in that, so.
Very cool.
That's awesome. Cute. Oh, I'm excited to see it. So be sure to subscribe to all of our YouTube, iTunes, SoundCloud, all that good stuff. So this episode, we really get Bernard's whole storyline. We get everything kind of finally the loose ends tied up for us. We see William, of course, digging the bullet out of his arm. Dolores is laying next to dead Teddy. No, that was
him digging to see if he's real.
Oh, yeah, digging in
his arm.
Human
or not, yes.
Yeah, trying to figure out if he's a...
Which we'll talk about later as well.
Dolores, having laid down next to... Finally getting up next to dead Teddy, runs into William and then... brings him on her quest, which
there's a couple moments where Dolores is just kind of like, hey, walk with me, and there's a few other ladies who do the same thing, like, just follow me, and the guys are like, okay.
She does that later on to Bernard too. She's like, you're part of this, come on.
Guys are like, all right, like, nothing better to do.
But yeah, so I really liked that they had these storylines converge, because this has been something that's, you know, led up to kind of wondering about this parallel that is pointed out, that William even says, we're very similar. You, what happened to Teddy? And she's like, well, I drove him off. And he's like, I drove away someone too. And Emily's
That's
body.
That's what we're calling it
seen.
Now it is.
Yeah. I drove someone to, I either murdered them dead or,
you know,
changed their programming so they felt the need to off themselves.
Well, and I love that we found out that Dolores is the one that built Bernard. Or I think, and she was referring to the fact that she was trying to rebuild Arnold as Arnold, but it just never worked out. So she made Bernard instead.
On the, because of Ford's request.
Right,
to
exactly.
That. Yes, but that was nice to get the other go. Dolores built Bernard, tasked by Ford, but he was too faithful. So she changed him.
Right.
Which so is that like,
well,
nice
clarification. That's that scene that we see, that is that 11,927th time is when she gets the idea of, maybe it's a good thing that you're not just like Arnold. Maybe you can be someone new who's just like that. And that's, I think that is why later she says, I made a decision, like how we see Bernard make a decision later.
At the end,
To make something new, to deviate from, you know, necessarily. She was tasked to make a copy of Arnold.
Yeah.
And I don't know if Ford just kind of went along with it, or this is how it has to go for it to work, or if he didn't even realize how much he had changed or something, but I thought that was really interesting.
I think it'd be weird, though, if it is your friend that's exact carbon copy, like, you'd almost want them a little bit different, because it's like, but you're not them. But it'd be nice and comforting that it's like, you remind me of them. But I don't
that'd be a little weird.
I think for a normal person... Yeah. But this is Robert Ford we're
this
talking about.
This is true.
He also built a whole model house of him as a kid with his brothers and his parents.
I mean, it's a Black Mirror episode, too.
Where the parents beat... Yeah. The robot parents beat the robot kids. Like, you know. I think he's a little...
I think it's the striving for the perfection of the replication, too, for him. That would be almost more comforting than his friend himself. So I think having the cognitive choice on Dolores' part to change him and to create Bernard, and then now knowing that Bernard isn't a carbon copy, that he is his own specific entity, and that he is something that is unique, then that also kind of raises more questions about the validity of life and the validity of reality. Because we now know that, I mean, we have that question answered. Bernard isn't a replica. He is his own thing. So the validity of his life is almost validated for us in some ways.
Choice, the important word that came up a lot this episode.
Yeah.
You get the choice to do it.
Which she, would they even kind of stress that it's choice that...
Well, that's... Oh, sorry.
Oh, go ahead.
I was going to say, it's also very biblical, too. Like, you get the choice, you get free will, you can, you know, pick what you want to do, but that is what makes them who they are.
Well, it was a deep episode, too, because it's like, if you really listen to what you're saying, you're like, start questioning your own, you're like, do I really have free will? How much of what I do is, like, really, you know, based off of other people's actions or wants or needs or whatever?
Humans,
or
are you trying to please limited people? Algorithms.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's interesting.
It is definitely, they do a very good job of raising philosophical questions,
absolutely,
too, in a way that gives you just enough time to debate it before moving into something else, where they're like, and here's a visual shot so that you can question your own reality while looking at something pretty, and now we're back to the story.
I think my favorite shot was Dolores on the sand dune with her horse. That was a really great one.
I just loved Clementine riding on the white horse, like the four horsemen of the apocalypse.
But technology, you only need one.
Need one. and just riding in on a white horse to save the day by murdering everyone.
Depends who you're saving.
Yeah. Depending on perspective.
Savings. Quote unquote. Yes.
But yeah, having the combination of then Bernard, Dolores, and William all together trying to figure out, you know, when she says basically you were trying to find the answer to your question, it was your mortality, but you found something else, something that you want to destroy. I thought that was a pretty interesting line. Did you guys have, was there any kind of lines that stood out to you guys as well?
I did write some down.
I mean, it was cool that we got to see, you know, once they enter the forge and they start, you know, getting their tour from ForgeBot Logan, seeing that keystone memory of Delos, you know, and we get that, I can see the bottom, don't you want to see what I see thing that we saw Delos say as his face was all carved up in a super creepy way to Elsie. I thought that was a great quote, and it answered a lot of questions for me, because I was like, what is he talking about? But of course it makes sense for, he even says it, like, this is what it always comes back to. So it made sense when the robot breaks down and finally, like, loses everything, that it just goes back to, like, replaying that memory over and over, I'm guessing.
It's a great way to bring that actor back, too, because we're all like, wait, why is he back? And totally makes sense. Ben Barnes. It's later, but I like Dolores' line, that which is real is irreplaceable, and I want their world.
I mean, we've heard that a couple times. Yeah. I do want to point out where Bernard is having his revelation conversation with Ford after he sees Hail Kill Elsie, which we find out is not really Ford. It's actually Bernard's subconscious, which I thought was awesome how they did that.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
But he says they're really just the passenger.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What do you think that means?
I think it's basically kind of going back to the idea of humans being having a limited number of algorithms and being very predictable by nature, and the fact that people intrinsically think that they have a choice, but their options are somewhat limited. Like, you basically are living your life like one of those choose your own adventure books where, you know, you're flipping to a certain page, but it's your own cognitive reality. And so you're kind of along for the ride in many of these situations where you think that you are in the driver's seat, you think that you are the one making the decision, you think that you are the one leading your life. But in many situations, unless you take the time to stop and question your reality and question kind of the choices that you've made that have led you to that situation that you're currently living, and in the trajectory of your life that you've created by the choices that you have lined up, unless you're taking the time to really debate that on a philosophical level, which I think is also kind of the writers being like, and that's why you're watching our show, then you're going to be just along for the ride in your own life. You're going to end up being a passenger. And that circles back to kind of the same thing that's hearkening of Dolores and Bernard and William and all of these people saying, what is reality? It's an accumulation of our choices.
Right. And the line that was just before that scene, I don't remember who said it, but they said, is it free will or is it just collective delusion? Which I think ties in perfectly with everything that you were just saying, you know? So,
not a quote, but I like that the book that Dolores grabs is Carl Strand, which is our head security, Floki. Dude, you guys haven't watched Vikings. Yeah, I like that moment. I was like, oh, are we going to get more? But it didn't. I wanted a little bit more from that. It was just like, it's very specific, but
she got everything she needs to know.
That's true. It's
only 11,000 lines of code. It's nothing for a host brain.
Yeah.
And then once you read it, you know somebody inside and out. You know what they're going to do.
That's true.
That's very powerful. And she also read a few books that we did not see.
It's true, yeah. So.
Which is interesting, too. There was a few things that were intentionally cryptic. We'll talk a little bit later about, too, her having the pearls in her bag and who may be those five.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Dun, dun, dun.
Yes. Well, and there's 4 million of those books in that library, so.
Well, yeah. There was.
There was.
Half of them got, an indeterminate amount of them got erased before the process was canceled. So, and then also we find out later that the file space that is thought to be the library is actually the hosts that are in the Forge.
So the library was actually a virtual reality library. It's not a real library.
Right.
Books.
Right. Because that's when they put the light thing.
In the thing.
But then it looked like Bernard canceled the data purge and take the encryption key. So that's what you're saying, where some of them
were probably purged. Right.
But not all. But not all. Because then that's when he takes the key, and then that's the system lock, which would mean things are okay.
But I'm also saying that later, when they're doing the transfer, when Hale is in to find out. Thing, right. Yeah. That there's what's being transferred that they think is the host is actually not the host. So I don't know if at some point...
What they thought was the guest.
Right, I'm sorry. They thought it was the guest, but it is the host.
Yep.
So I don't know if that means that at some point in time when they did their new plan, they erased it and replaced them with, put the host in there, or if they're still in there somewhere, they're just not what we're being transferred.
Yeah. Well, and I wonder, and this might, maybe should say this for the end, but like before Hale was killed and became Dolores, she kind of alluded to the fact that maybe they don't want the outside world to find out that a bunch of humans obviously died at Westworld. So, you know, why wouldn't you just send them back out as hosts? All the people that died. And then you don't have to ever tell anyone that they died.
I don't... Well, because they still hadn't perfected that transfer of a person into a bot.
I feel like it'd be like a Rick and Morty situation where you've got
a robot version.
Extensive waiver.
Yeah, it was one of those, you die, your fault.
You can see it on the Daedalus website if you haven't checked it out.
How many pages is it?
It's very long. I didn't read the whole thing, but I skimmed through.
Well, those terms of agreement, do we ever really read them?
No. It's actually, there's some of those pages you can't get since they started this season, because they're updating it as the show goes on. So since there's been a crisis, you haven't been able to sign up. But all last season, you could go to the Daedalus website and look like you're booking a trip. Like, pick your dates, and then you have to go through,
the
release thing, and then they send you emails, and then they're like, let's tailor your experience. And it's very intensive. There's a lot of cool stuff.
Well, props to them getting that detailed. Yes.
And they've been updating it every episode this season too, so I'm sure that there's going to be a bunch of new stuff.
Unwaveringly.
Well, and along that same line, there's actually a virtual or a game that Alexa you can play with. It's called, it's a voice activated Westworld game, which you can play on Alexa. Wow. So for all of you guys that want some Westworld action after
not sponsored,
no, but I just was reading, that's a news thing.
That's cool though.
That seems like that would be too creepy for me. I'd be like, no, too realistic. Alexa, I don't need you being cognitive and making choices, because what if you choose not to answer my questions?
That's true.
Now, this was really cool, though, because we did have a lot of our questions answered, primarily being, one, seeing Dolores have a lot of questions raised first, having Dolores' body and seeing all of the dead hosts. And then the big question is, what is the cause of the flood of the Forge? Why did Dolores flood all of these and presumably kill all of these hosts? But we find out that it's actually because we are saving their cognition.
Well, a lot of them were killed not by her, though, too. Because we thought maybe the flood killed them, but it's like, oh no, they were all, a lot of them were killed by Clementine.
Yeah, Clementine made them all
infection their rage virus.
Ooh. Well, yeah, because like in reality, a flood wouldn't kill any of them.
That's true. They probably didn't just drown.
I mean,
that's true.
I mean, unless they don't know how to swim, I guess.
Well, that's a good question, because I mean, Dolores, we think, dies because it looked like it's a headshot, but we never actually see the wound. So it's one of those, if the host is believing it's alive, would they drown by following that code?
Yeah.
Because if that's what they think it is.
To think that they're drowned unless they're told to wake up.
Yeah.
Yeah, but we ultimately see that the QA responders shoot them in the head and make it where they can't. Like, they're dead. Yeah. Double tap. Now, Dolores actually dies a couple times in this episode as well. William guns her down, thinking that he's killing her.
She's like, nope, doesn't do anything.
That is one of the coolest speeches ever, her you don't understand speech, which we then see some lines echoed later when she's talking to Bernard about him not understanding her convictions and her reasons.
But then she gets that backfire set up, which was so happy and rewarding. Oh, my God.
And genius with it tying back to Teddy and seeing the backfire of the bullet. crushed and then it being echoed. The cinematography in this one was just...
It was really good.
Absolutely so brilliant. Good. Absolutely brilliant. But yeah, talking about... I thought this was really interesting when, you know, she's saying that the hosts were designed to survive and you want to be poured into us. You want to become us for that, the immortality. But it's death that is actually what you need. Your species craves it. It's the only way that you can renew, the only real way you ever inched forward. Your kind likes to pretend there's some poetry in that, but really it's pathetic. What did you guys think of that line?
I don't know about that line in particular, but I know for a while I've thought he just wanted to die. But he still doesn't seem... But then she's like, I'm not going to let you die, though.
Yeah, I don't remember that particular quote. Someone else in the chat just brought up another quote, though, which was Addison May. She said, they're just algorithms designed to survive at all costs, but sophisticated enough to think they're calling the shots, to think they're in control when they're really just the passenger. So it goes back to the previous one. Mm-hmm.
I kind of felt like it was basically saying that humans need mortality because with the idea of immortality, there's no pressure, there's no sense of time, there's no sense of kind of the urgency that pushes people to create. And I mean, did you guys, what do you feel is basically the ultimate goal at this point?
I mean, I think that might be it. I think more literally based on what we see and what they talk about with like specifically the algorithms, I think the mortality thing comes from the idea that we can't change. Like they said, the passenger thing, like we have a beginning and we have an end. The hosts are able to change themselves. And that's the big thing that's going to separate us. And I think that's going to be the key theme for the next season. But I think that is what she's talking about, is that humans have to die because they have a beginning and an end, they have a path, and they can't deviate from that path. Once they do, once you start trying to copy these algorithms and put them into these immortal bodies, they can't comprehend it. They're not built to live that way. So they go off the rails and they fail.
And there was another quote that memories will betray us or will betray you, which I think goes perfectly with what you just said, because if... I like forgot what I was saying, but
yeah, it ties into the
humans can't erase their memories and start over like a host can.
Right.
So, you know, there's a certain point where you're just going to get stuck kind of repeating.
Or you get stuck because your memory alters, or how you remember something is inaccurate.
Right.
And that keeps you stuck on your path because you're choosing to not subconsciously or consciously how it really happened.
Like William. Yeah. In previous episodes, they kept saying, you're just repeating the same thing over and over and over again.
It's interesting. Which is how they're able to even get the information to potentially replicate the guesses, by them basically repeating a limited number of actions, which is kind of cool how it ties into the whole thing about how the issue wasn't it being too simple, not being simple enough, that it was too complex, ultimately, is because humans have a limited number of algorithms, so it does all tie in. I like it. But ultimately, I think that's kind of cool too, how it harkens back to the quote that you liked about when they found Delos/Logan as the system, and how it all kind of circles back to that one moment of him having his last conversation with his son and all of the replicants that he has, all of their fidelity tests, them all circling back saying that his son is the most important thing, which we see echoed in Maeve. So we see that there are more similarities than differences, which is what William was also kind of pointing out to Dolores too. So we see that there is this common denominator between the hosts and the humans that they're just now starting to bridge for us at the very, very end of this season. So it's interesting to see how it's going to tie into season 3. But yeah, this was kind of cool when it just, kind of going back and forth between all of the different timelines and ultimately leading to that, which is real is irreplaceable. The big kind of line that we've had echoed back and Dolores saying that it's not just this world that she's looking for. It's that basically the humans need to pay too. So we get her clear objective, finally. We get her spelling it out to Bernard, What did you guys think about that? Because up until this point, we've been kind of just assuming that it was her wanting to go and be a part of this new world, but seeing now her almost wanting to...
No, she's been pretty clear about not being interested in the new world from the beginning. She wants the real world, as she said a couple times in the season, that she wants not just our world or whatever, or to get out. She wants to take their world. So I think I wasn't surprised to hear that that was her plan, and that she, I think they were, they, especially when we see Akechita bump heads with her earlier, I knew that she was not on board for the virtual world Eden thing. I think that's, I guess that's like host heaven now.
Well, it's still Gilded Cage.
Yes. Right. Well, yeah. It's also that, you know, what is real is that which can't be replaced, right? And the Forge world is just at the end of the day, it's just a copy of the real world. Whereas the real world is the real world. There is no replacing it. When it's gone, it's gone.
Well, also being out there, she said, too, for her and for Bernard later, is like, now we are the author of our own story. So getting out, I think, is where she felt that's the only place she could truly do her own path instead of like being stuck within the framework that they built.
Well, yeah, and in the new host world, for those that entered it, I mean, they still have their memories, those one, you know, all of the ones that are awake. So I'm wondering how they're even going to kind of start over there. I mean, I guess we'll find out in 2 years.
Yeah, well, it is. It is kind of cool, though, seeing that then harken back to what we were talking about a few episodes back about the kind of echoing of the Plato's parable of the cave and of her finally getting out of the cave and wanting to bring that information back, like we see in the Akechita episode. Mm-hmm. But ultimately, Bernard proposing just a new cave and her saying, no, that isn't enough. Mm-hmm. I kind of thought that it was going to be something that at some point she would want to live in a cohesive nature with the humans, but she just flat out is like, nah, I'm taking your world and I'm going to rule it.
I see Bernard blending in with normal humans. He'd be cool with just like having a normal life. And I don't know if she wants to like world domination, but I don't know. I think she's going to be hit with the real reality once she gets outside and be like, oh, this is not what I expected it to be.
Mm-mm. I think she knows exactly what's going to happen. I think she's got an intense plan for what's going to happen. Mm. I have more predictions, but I'll save them for later.
Yeah. With slicked back hair and
Black her dresses. Tight little bun. Yeah. She's like, no wavy blonde hair for me now. She's
no, like, nope. Yeah. Now, I really like, too, having Bernard and his revelation that it wasn't Ford that was controlling his actions and that it was him.
After a certain point.
After a certain point, where after we see when he was with Elsie and he deleted all of the files, and then we start seeing Ford show up later. We had kind of hypothesized that Ford had intentionally left him the choice to delete himself. But we were wondering how he was able to come back. And we finally see it cleared up now that he wasn't, that it was Bernard making these choices himself, and that he had just kind of imagined Ford's presence almost as a mental scapegoat for himself, it seemed.
Well, it's just like Dolores in the first season, where she's hearing Arnold's voice the whole time, and then in the end she realized, wait, it wasn't Arnold's voice, it was my voice. Boom, now you're sentient, my camera mind. So it was the same thing of where he's been struggling, thinking that he's awake, and and so I think that realization at the end, right? Because after that scene takes place after he's killed Dolores,
right?
But after he's killed Dolores, after he's made Robot Hale,
yes.
And okay, but before he gets found,
right.
Right, okay.
Because then he lays down on the beach, and that's when he sets down his glasses, which is where we pick up in the scene that we had the very beginning, where he puts on his glasses.
So, and I think that lends even more, like, intensity to that reveal, because basically he reaches consciousness and then has to give it away because he knows that
it's... scrambles memories. Yeah. Right. Yes.
And the scrambling of his memories, I think, throws some of that behind. I don't know if he's a step behind, and then he... just caught up later when he put everything back together again, but to me that added a lot of, like, knowing that he finally realized it was me. I actually did it. But in order to do this, I need to, like, take a step back. So that was really powerful.
It was kind of cool, too, to see that ultimately this whole time we've seen Bernard kind of losing it, and we felt like his consciousness was being taken away from him, but ultimately that was his choice as well. So it all circles back to choice, and he consciously was the one who made the choice to have his memories be out of order so that he could not reveal that Dolores is Hale and that she's leaving now.
It was a great way to get a goodbye for Ford, too, that didn't invalidate the earlier decision of him actually getting Bernard to make his own choice to delete him, and it actually was real. That is cool that we're able to keep that intact, but also still get a goodbye. Because if that was the last we saw Ford, that would have sucked.
Yeah.
So I think that was just really good writing. I thought he was
on the beach again.
Yeah.
Which is interesting,
and then we'll meet
too.
On the horizon.
Yeah. Oh, I did think that was sweet.
Just the AI, like, capability of, like, thinking about that is just, like, mind-blowing to me. And, like, to think that, like, a computer can have, like, so
an
much...
An imaginary friend.
Yeah, like an imaginary friend. Like, it created its own other, like, self.
It should be scared.
It's, yeah. It's
artificial intelligence of the artificial intelligence.
Totally.
But I thought it was kind of cool, too, that the episode was called The Passenger, and the last we saw of Ford was him as a literal passenger in the back seat of this car being deleted. And then it's now Bernard who had kind of, at that point, ironically attributed him as a passenger in his own brain. But ultimately, it was a really, really cool way to see how Dolores in her storyline plays out with her... With one, Bernard seeing Hale shoot Elsie when Elsie's going to try to make the deal that was undone. It was really cool seeing Hale smoke her cigarette over Elsie's body when new Dolores Hale walks up all Terminator style. What were your thoughts when that happened?
I like the be careful what you wish for pretty much. It's like, yes.
I think
satisfying.
We kind of saw that coming in other episodes. I mean, I think we saw like a second Hale, but I didn't think it was going to be Dolores. But I was like, there's definitely going to be a second Hale, like a Hale host.
Yeah. When we had reached that, there was in the teaser for last week, there was like a flash scene of her seeing host Hale. So I knew it was coming at some point.
The Hale moment.
Right. And then given how far we are into the episode, I put it together. But it was still... not something that I saw until it was happening. I did not see it coming. I was very surprised.
Well, it's interesting because, like, when we first meet Hale, I thought she was a really interesting character, and you're kind of like on her side. And then after all she's done, I'm like, well, I think you kind of deserve it now. And so then I don't know. It depends if you're rooting for the host or the humans at this point, or somewhere in between, because some of them are a little bit more of the bridge, or the people that were like, so are you? But it was very satisfying to see Hale. Get that.
Now, what did you guys think about Stubbs and his conversation with her at the end when he's saying, you know, Ford gave me very specific instructions.
It's my cornerstone.
Yes. Yeah. Cornerstone programming basically is to protect all of the hosts inside the park.
Well, I think he's definitely a host, and I think... Obviously.
No way.
Really?
Alice thinks Stubbs is a host.
I mean,
but you know, I'd be okay with him not being a host, and he's just letting her know, I know you are.
Yeah, I mean, like, he obviously knows she's a host.
Yeah.
But also, like, he survived with, like, no wound. I don't know. Like, there's just, like, some, you know, it's
what
like.
What do you mean? Survived what? He wasn't around anything dangerous.
Yeah, he was
Ghost
sent
Nation
away.
Picked him up. Remember that, too?
That's true. But yeah. I mean.
So wait, do you think he is or isn't, Nate?
I don't think he's a host.
Okay.
It's possible. It's more possible that he's a host than some other characters that people think are hosts, but I don't think he's a host. I think he might know more about what is going on at the park than he initially let on.
Yeah.
I think he definitely knows that that was not Hale.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think we're supposed to wonder. I think that's a tease for what comes next, which will tie into my theories when we
get
there.
Maybe it's too obvious that he's a host. You know, it's like...
Well, it's one of those... You could easily read it both ways.
Right.
I want to go with he's not, but that was his way of letting her know. I know you are, and it's okay. Get out. That's
well,
because
that
job.
Was Ford's whole plan, was to have somebody get out.
Yeah.
So, kind of all fits together anyways.
And a cameo from someone who was in Get
and
Out.
And a lot of people in the chat are split on this. We've got some people saying Stubbs is definitely a host. Mm-hmm. We've got some people saying that he's not. So,
ooh. Well, let us know what you guys think. Yeah. Host or nosed?
Comment down below.
Yeah. Interesting.
I also found it was interesting that Hale and then Dolores is Hale. I think both of them would have shot Elsie. You know what I mean? Like,
you think Dolores would have shot Elsie too?
Yeah.
No.
I don't think so. Mm. Why would she?
I know it was before.
Okay.
I know it was before Dolores was.
To be clear, Bernard didn't make host Hale until Hale kills Elsie. That's what caused the whole thing to happen. Yep. So it was not Dolores.
But she's saying that were Dolores in the same situation, she would have made the same choice.
Yeah.
No. And I feel like she
I don't think
not.
So.
I mean, I she get doesn't where you're kill, going, she doesn't kill Bernard. But I think more Hale got rid of Elsie because you're going to be a problem, you're a witness. Dolores would be more like, as long as you're not in my way, whatever. But as soon as Elsie's talking to Hale, it's just like, oh, no. But Elsie doesn't know Hale is that untrustworthy at this point. We do as an audience.
She doesn't believe Bernard.
Yeah. I understand what you're saying, though, Alice, especially with Bernard saying, you know, repeatedly to Dolores that you would kill any man, woman, or child, any human, just for being human. That it is a possibility. But I feel like in that moment, she's not really killing anybody unless they're getting in her way.
Yeah.
So any last thoughts on this episode
other big thing, the post scene?
Oh yeah. Oh, goodness.
I was like the other huge one.
The huge thing. So now seeing what we are assuming is the recreation of Emily, who is doing the fidelity test on William. What were your thoughts on this?
So if y'all are confused, there's a post-credit scene, which we said. Well, she points out this is not a simulation. This is what's left of your world, and it's a fidelity test. So I want to say that does imply that he is a host, or he is that example of trying to make a body suitable to download the who you are into.
The cognition, yeah.
Yeah.
Sorry, guys, we have one just spoiler here before we get too far.
Yeah.
Beta Artemis is saying that Lisa Joy confirmed in a rap interview that Stubbs is a host.
I was going to say that.
Aw.
Okay. I forgive you.
Well, thank that's you, cool, because I didn't know.
They also say that it takes, she also said in the interview that it takes place in the far, far future, which would make sense because that scene that takes place in the far,
the
far
post-credit?
Future. Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. She also confirmed that Emily that we see is a host.
Oh, yeah. I don't think
granted,
it's regular
Emily. They also said that Ford wouldn't be back in season two in interviews before season one. Granted, technically, he wasn't alive, so he wasn't technically back. So I don't know if that is enough. So we have to take anything they say outside of what we see on the show as a grain of salt. Could be canon, could not be.
Yeah.
But it seems pretty obvious that it's in the future, which would explain why that... William is a host?
Yes.
Not the William that we've seen throughout the show.
Yeah.
Right. This is an indeterminate amount of time in the future.
So this could be like as he's leaving island, he's normal human, and then this is what they make a body of who he is at that moment, and that's the cognition body they're downloading into.
Can we just start with predictions for season three and stuff, because all of that whole scene is just a teaser for what's coming.
Okay.
And it also really kind of says that a lot of what William was going through in this season really had nothing to do with the story of this season. It was the setup for next season.
So before we dive into that,
this season. Yeah.
Before we dive into our predictions here, any last thoughts on this episode or on the season as a whole?
Well, I think we need to reference the bag that Dolores in Hale's body takes with her when she leaves with the five
potential encryption keys.
People.
Yes.
Well, then let's just go ahead and dive into predictions, because that's going to lead to predictions as well. Let's go ahead. Dive in.
And now...
It's not official unless we get the
lights. Or it's a hybrid. You know,
we got to point out, too, that I mean, what we see in the end is that when Dolores leaves, she goes to Arnold's house, which Ford finished and then put in a new host building machine. So she's now in the real world building hosts. Presumably only the five for the, that he's got. She's got cores for, but we don't know what the expanse of that is.
Would that be the Arnold then? I mean, the Bernard that's she's talking to.
Yes. So the Bernard that we see that... is in the head and then he's naked. That's a new Bernard that she made.
Right.
And what's also important is that she, what she's saying is, I should kill you because we're not going to be on the same team for this. Mm-hmm. But because we're living and I respect you and whatever else has changed in her, again, because she can change, she's not human. She's not so set in stone.
I changed my mind. Yeah.
She lets him live and leaves with Dolores too, or I think that maybe is why its personality is split into another stone, or maybe that's a copy of Teddy. I'm not sure.
Yeah, we've got a lot of people asking about that too. So
I think that's a big, that's just another big thing for us to wonder for the next season.
But now, do we think Dolores took her essence and put it in this new one, the new body that looks like her, and then so the Charlotte body is not her, Dolores in the end?
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. I think it could be both. They could both be Dolores. It could be
it goes one back could be to Wyatt Dolores. One pearls, could be because if she has her own pearls, she could put her own consciousness. Yeah.
The other one could be anybody.
Yeah, but I guess more the question is, did she remove herself from the Charlotte body and make a new one?
I would say
be like, this is not my body. I want it back.
Yes.
Yeah.
I think
I think so. Because I think that's a choice that she would make if she has the option to have her own
She's
body.
She's attached to that physical body.
Yeah.
Also, quickly, I want to talk about Forge World, as I have newly Forge dubbed World? It, which is the host heaven. I thought that was a really cool idea. I was thinking it might be different, like the mind, the human minds would be in there also, like it was going to be a different thing, but I liked how it panned out. I'm curious if we're going to see those hosts again or what's going to happen. Also really curious of where did she send them? They didn't tell us.
Well, because she changes their trajectory, but she does it intentionally to something that is not able to be traced so that nobody would be able to find and destroy them. So I kind of feel like it's going to be something that either we don't see or it's or it's going to be something that circles back later in some sort of randomized fashion. Yeah. That
so that goes
unexpected.
Into my predictions.
Yeah. And we've had a bunch of people in the beginning of this chat that were asking about kind of the other worlds. And if anyone follows the original Westworld, we know that there's also a future world, a Roman, a medieval, and a spa world. So it makes sense to me if the trajectory was changed for them to go to future world. And that's what we're going to see in season three.
But why would they go to Future World? Why would she send them to another Delos destination to hide from Delos?
Either that or Future World is maybe the real world. We'll see.
Okay, so here's my theory. I think season three, 100% we're getting a time skip. I think we're going to get... because here's the thing to consider, right? Like, there's still all the other hosts and all the other parks that are still there. So it's not like it was some big robot exodus. It was a pretty big accident, but it's not like the park hasn't had accidents before. I fully think that Westworld is going to be, the next time we see it, it's just going to be like almost like nothing happened, just the hosts that we know are gone. Probably maybe even all of Westworld, because the cradle was destroyed. So maybe that park is closed. Maybe that park is where they build Future World now to replace it. But I do think we will see the other parks. I think that is why, I don't know though, because I also think that us seeing William at the end is because he has been replaying that same loop as his fidelity test in the real park. So I don't know if maybe they have, they close Westworld off and it's just him running this thing over and over again. And then eventually in a 100 years or however long it takes, they figure it out. But I think that is going to, it's going to be something like Dolores is infiltrating humanity because it's been years and she's been building a couple hosts, and then somehow Bernard is going to be trying to help the humans, obviously, because they've got opposing ideas of what they're going to do. And I think the twist is going to be that with William in this future timeline, Delos has actually figured out how to synthesize humans, and that's going to make the whole human robot war even messier because there'll be this like hybrid thing. So I This is just a wild guess.
And because we've seen them repurpose the host before, it would make sense that they would then repurpose them for Future World or for other things, which is why we could see Maeve again. We could see some of these hosts that we've seen previously that, you know, we've had Felix and Sylvester being asked to take whoever's salvageable. So I think you're right. I think that it would make sense for them to continue on and basically be like, yeah, this was the mistake, but... You know, it's not like Jurassic Park where they just shut everything down.
They pause going. And come back again.
I mean, it very much seems like they're just going to get those guests out and, like, you know, repair the hosts you can and.
Yeah, and start over again. We'll just fix return everything back on.
Because Elsa even says, you know, basically human lives aren't as important to Hale as the mission and the objective. So. The objective is to keep making money and keep the park going. I think you're right that it would make sense. And because they said that we've tried this a number of times, but it's an indiscriminate number, that the jump in the future when robot Emily, which would also make sense why she is definitely a host, is because she hasn't aged way, way in the future here.
That version of Emily.
That version of Emily.
I would hope we'd see a new park. It'd be kind of fun. But the thing is, are we all attached to Westworld? Because it's called Westworld. And we've spent the main bit in the two western areas. And then we got our samurai world for a little bit, Shogun world. But it's like, and Raj, we just got teased at. But, you know, they mentioned there's like six. So can we see some of the other ones? Or they go to another one, try it out.
But especially with that scene, knowing that it's in the future and that...
We still have the western gear on.
Yeah. I don't, like I said, it seems like it would be strange though to run that whole filling the valley and all the hosts going, like, and all the stuff that was going on around that loop that he would be going through. It seems like it would be, but also if you're creating a synthesized human, you probably can just afford to spend the budget on it. So I don't know.
But I mean, it makes sense if the very last thing that Delos had that kept circling back is his last conversation with his son, that it would be for William, his last conversation with his daughter before he kills her, thinking that she's a hoe. So it would make sense that would be a simulation that would be run, is that one moment kind of circling back, which was within the park. It was within Westworld when all of this chaotic stuff ensued.
So wait, then were you saying the whole season of his storyline is essentially one of the tests? Which would also
this make... His influence on the main storyline of the host leaving and all that stuff is very, very minimal. It's just he just happens to be there when a lot of these chemo... He runs in the maze.
Season 1 and 2?
Season 2.
Yeah.
Season 1, he's much more involved with Dolores and stuff. But, I mean, that might be a part of the loop also. I don't know.
It makes sense, though, because then that is why he really has that disassociation and, you know, cutting into his arm, because it isn't really, really him.
I don't think
that kind of works though.
I don't think we're seeing him in that timeline though. I think we're seeing the first time that it happened.
I think so too. And you're talking about the first season, and then this
I'm talking
season?
About season two. I think when we see William's timeline in season two, I think this.
That's his first
I think
run?
We're seeing the first time that it happened. I think what we're seeing at the end credits is the result of them running that test over and over again until it gets to the same result.
Yeah.
Then he gets down there, and the host that's waiting for him in the old, destroyed, rundown forge that we see because it's not the same. It's many years later.
It's all dust and
everything. They don't use that anymore.
Mm-hmm. But then it's all nice and clean once he's inside. So then they're
there's a test facility in there for when he, you know, presumably makes it. Exactly. Yeah. So
you just reminded me of something as well with Delos when we're in that simulation with Logan. Like, how do they know Delos's memories from times that he was not in the park?
That's what they talk about, too, is how they're saying, well, this wasn't in the park. How, like, this is a memory. How are you, when he's talking about how Logan, how are you even here, too, is he saying that this was because that was the ultimate goal, was to get, to have all of the memories and have everything programmed in so that you can get an exact replica.
That was different. Dolores was saying that I was here for this memory. I know that when Logan was here, he was strung out talking about Splendor and stuff. He wasn't sitting pertinent. Having a drink. That's why she goes, wait a minute, you're not supposed to be here.
I'm talking about too when they are in the actual library though, and they're discussing it, right?
Well, because we flash back to, like, Delos at his house with that last moment with him and Logan, and they're saying that was, like, pool.
I mean...
That was the... Like, the moment that made him...
He's not the same as the other test subjects that just go to Westworld, right? Like, he knew what they were doing with him. So I'm sure that either...
So he's being watched all the time
And, I mean, the other thing, remember, too, how many hosts were at that party? True. How many hosts were at all the memories of outside events that we've seen? So maybe all that stuff was just... We've seen that they recorded.
And in the beginning, it seemed like the hosts were in the outside world.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
In the flashback, we see Clem walking by in a dress, carrying cocktails. So
the same one where Dolores was playing piano.
Yeah, I mean, especially Delos is going to have information on everything about him because it's his company. So of course, there's these stuff's under surveillance, and he knows that he is that first test subject. So I'm sure he gives them full information.
Who do you guys think are the five pearls?
I really don't know.
I don't either.
No idea.
Because I would think one is Teddy, but then she uploads Teddy, so it can't be Teddy.
I don't think it's Teddy. I think
or could they just be all people we don't really know?
Bernard.
Let's see.
Those two make sense.
Three more.
Yeah.
Well, one isn't her because her is
in there. Yeah.
In her. In.
Let's see if anyone in our chat has any predictions on that. I know someone earlier said Stubbs, William, Dolores, Maeve, and Arnold, but that's just kind of who's left alive. So I'm not sure who the. Yeah, five pearl guesses. Do you guys have any in the chat?
So, any last predictions, too, before we wrap up here? Man, there's so much and so much time before we come back. So, in the meantime, where can everybody keep up with you guys and keep this conversation going? Nate?
Oh, guys. You can find me everywhere at DogLikeNate.
And you guys can find me on Twitter and Facebook at Alice L. Ford and Alice's Adventures on Earth everywhere else.
And you guys can find me online at Carrie D. Lane. That's K-A-R-I-D-L-A-N-E. And tune in next week for on this channel, the sci-fi one. Expanse is having their finale.
And before we get to Alana, there are a couple of guesses in here.
All right.
Some people are saying... Angela, Ford, Bernard, Clementine, Angela, Abernathy, Teresa, Maeve. Those are a couple of guesses. So I just want to say thank you to all of you guys that are in the chat as well.
Thank you.
And Teddy and Hector, Ghost Nation guys. Those are some other guesses too. So thank you guys for being in the chat.
Keep the guesses coming. Keep commenting. We love hearing from you guys. Be sure to rate, subscribe. We're on iTunes, SoundCloud, YouTube, all that good stuff. And you guys can find me, Elena Jordan, on Twitter at Elena Jordan, A-L-A-N-A-J-O-R-D-A-N, and on Instagram at That Elena Jordan Girl. We'll see you guys next time. Bye.
See ya.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.